This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on September 17th, 2015. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The first substantive item on the agenda is item number 2, draft advisory opinion 2015-3, Democracy Rules, Inc. I understand that Mr. Buckley's out of the office today, so we have Nevin Stepanovic and Amy, no Amy. She's in the back. And Amy Rothstein of the Office of General Counsel, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Let me also mention, is Mr. Cashman on the phone? The requester?
Mr. Cashman?
He should be.
Okay. Well, we'll...
It's earlier.
He is.
Okay. Perhaps we've exhausted him.
Yeah. We've exhausted him.
Good morning.
We're all exhausted.
Mr. Cashman?
Yes.
Oh.
All right.
Yes, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Cashman. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us again.
My pleasure.
Mr. Stepanovic of the Office of General Counsel is going to make a presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, Commissioners. This advisory opinion request was held over from the last open session. Since then, the requester, Democracy Rules, provided new information. Specifically, in a supplement to its request, Democracy Rules explained that it revised its plan so that members will be able to redirect their pledges from the candidates identified by Democracy Rules to any legislator with an authorized campaign committee. The Commission this morning released a new draft D, which concludes that Democracy Rules' proposal is permissible under the Act and Commission regulations. In addition to the supplemental information provided by Democracy Rules, the Commission received one comment since the last open session. Should the Commission approve any of the drafts before it, we ask for authority to make technical and conforming amendments. I'll be happy to address any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments with regard to the AO? Commissioner Goodman.
Yeah, I'd just like to note that Mr. Cashman has gone through quite a gauntlet here at the Commission to try to respond to concerns raised in colloquies, you know, at the in the public discussion here at the Commission, and has most recently submitted to the Commission a revision to his technological platform that allows those who sign up for his service and pay for his service to donate to any candidate that they choose. I don't know that this was necessary. Individuals chose his service, chose his method of matching them with like-minded candidates that they may want to give to. Once he matches people through an associative process, if someone still does not want to give to the candidate or the charity that is identified through that process, the individual does not have to give. So the choice to donate resides in the individual at all times. And the platform itself, although I don't think it was legally necessary, now offers people a list of names of all candidates with authorized committees to donate to if a member so chooses and so directs. That last submission puts Mr. Cashman's technological platform on the same functional and legal basis as the Commission approved in the Skimmer Hat advisory opinion, 2012-22. And it's important, I believe, that citizens be able to employ services like this to associate across geographical boundaries in this way. And that's what this technology does. And I don't think there's any legal need to block this technological solution and others like it. And it is designed to serve smaller donors who want to participate with others in this type of collaborative process. And I think it's important that the commission grant democracy rules the legal protection of an advisory opinion. And I don't think it even breaks new ground. I think democracy rules could rely on the Skimmerhat advisory opinion for protection. So for that reason, I intend to support draft D before us today.
Thank you. Any other comments? Let me just respond. I actually agree with you that it is really important to encourage innovation and encourage ways to have people contributing to the political process. One of the concerns that we all have about our political process today is that it is much more difficult, and there are so many people who feel alienated from the system and not able to participate, and I think it's important to encourage it, particularly in technological means. So it's not an easy decision for me, and I applaud Mr. Cashman for going through the gauntlet, as you say, although I think it sort of makes it somewhat confusing as the process kept changing. And I'm still concerned that it does not meet the purposes of Skimmerhat as well as CrowdPAC, because those were situations where people were given information about that was available about candidates and then could choose and make their own determinations about who to support from any range. And this is such a convoluted way of sort of isolating out some candidates and making some determinations about who can be supported. And that concerns me, that it does not, you know, really meet the exception of vendor exception. So for that reason, I'm not going to be able to support this.
Madam Chair, at the last meeting, Mr. Cashman was fishing for what the concerns were of all the commissioners. And
Right. You
said that your concerns were expressed in draft C on the table at that time. And the only feature that was questioned of Mr. Cashman's technological platform there was that individuals had to, when it came time to give, although, by the way, they could choose not to give, if they chose to give, they had to give to the candidate that was derived from his algorithm, his process of matching the donor with an interested candidate.
Right.
Or a like-kind candidate. Mr. Cashman revised his submission to address that one concern, that one distinction between his platform and others that was set forth in draft C. He added a feature that added all candidates and said he would direct contributions as a service, a for-fee service, to send your contribution to anyone. Now it appears that we've moved the goal line on democracy rules. Now we say, well, it's a convoluted process, but you know, Skimmerhat had an algorithm too. In Skimmerhat, the commission noted the factual predicate of that service. Users may search for candidates with whom they are ideologically similar by taking a candidate matching survey, which poses a series of yes-no ideological questions to users. These answers are then compared to the positions of all federal candidates. A list of candidates is then displayed on the results page, ranked from highest to lowest based upon the matching percentage with the user. Now, Skimmerhat was going to perform that matching service based on the inputs from the individual. This is just a different selection process, but the people sign up for this process. They list their ideological preferences. They are agreeing to pay for the service of winnowing the field to mm-hmm. people, and they agree to go through a pledge process where people actually vote among candidates and nonprofit organizations that they may want to direct to. And if they are unhappy at the end of the day with the match that Democracy Rules prescribes for them, then they don't have to give, and they can give to anybody else. So I don't think that's very convoluted or confused at all. What I'm more concerned about is that the goal line has been moved on Democracy Rules.
Yeah. Well, first let me say, we haven't moved the goal line because, as I understand it, you probably have the votes for this, and so we will not have moved any goal line. This is just my personal concern. Yes, Skimmer Hat and CrowdPat both had algorithms in this case. It's a determination that is going to be made subjectively by Mr. Cashman. That is much more the concern that I have. If it were a neutral algorithm that were just taking into account the interests of the particular individuals. And secondarily, yes, admittedly, he added the names. And honestly, this is not, I don't mean to be like arguing this vehemently in the sense that I don't have a huge stake in this, mainly because I do want to encourage this kind of activity, but I just am concerned that this doesn't quite meet the law in my view, and that's where my concern is, because that is an additional step that requires the donor to then affirmatively, within a period of time, make an alternative choice. It's much more burdensome. It's very different from the situations in CrowdPak and Skimmer Hat, and that's kind of where I fall. I'm not trying to argue with you about your perspective.
Well, I'm trying to persuade you.
Yes, no, I know you are.
That whether it's the Wizard of Oz or it's the little man behind the curtain, the algorithm in CrowdPak is a series of ones and zeros, okay, that somebody programmed. And I don't know how they programmed it, and yet we approved it by a vote of 6-0. Okay? Somebody draws up the algorithms for search results on Google, and just because it's a fancy set of ones and zeros to identify and distinguish who we think matches with you, and by the way, I've been on CrowdPak's website, and I put in a fair set of ambiguous criteria of mine, and said that I identified one issue.
Was
student
it right?
Loans and debt that wouldn't necessarily fall left or right necessarily.
No. Was it right? No, I didn't mean left or right. I mean, was it right according to your views?
No. They ended up recommending a congressman from New Jersey for me, and I had no knowledge. I couldn't figure out how CrowdPak's algorithm identified this one congressman from New Jersey as being right for me on the issue. But by the way, I could choose at that point to use CrowdPak's service or not use CrowdPak's service, to donate to that individual or not donate to that individual.
Right. Did you
and here's the same...
Oh,
let me finish. I feel like I'm at the debate last night. Yeah. My time is limited.
If your time's up, did you click on... Mr. Trump.
And so whether you trust Mr. Cashman as being the individual who is helping... Do the individual, you're essentially hiring the service of Mr. Cashman to help you identify, just like people employ political consultants all the time, or sophisticated players in this world hire political consultants and have government affairs offices that help them identify where their political contribution should go given their political interests. Mr. Cashman is offering a service. You may or may not want to use it. Okay, but the point is individuals choose to use this service.
I understand that, and that was true right at the beginning in draft number one, or whatever the first draft was of this request. I personally still believe, and you're right, I mean, obviously there are human beings behind the determinations that ultimately result in whatever the algorithm comes up with, no question about it. But in this case, it's kind of like a step too far for me, because it's the unilateral decision by Mr. Cashman to identify candidates that would be appropriate for the person who signs up for the service, and therefore, and because it's kind of opaque and not, you know, clear as to how he's making that determination, I just don't think that it comes within the exception.
What you're saying is a consulting service doesn't come within the business vendor exception because I'm relying on one person. By the way, the individual still chooses in the end whether or not to make the contribution. If you don't like Democracy Rules recommendation, you can back out of his voting process. But but people choose to enter. By the way, this is a collaborative process. I and perhaps 100 other people around the country identify a certain issue of interest to us. We enter into the, it's almost like a investment club, you know, where people combine their ideas. And you have a guide for the club. And here the guide happens to be the operator of Democracy Rules, Mr. Cashman. But at the end, because the donor has absolute choice and discretion to either make the contribution or not, or choose somebody completely different, Mr. Cashman's service is almost immaterial to the choice to ultimately make the final contribution. Up to that point, you have chosen to collaborate with other people on a technological platform from around the country who may be like-minded. And I think we have to encourage that, and I don't see why that vitiates the commercial, the legitimacy of this commercial service. You're still paying a fee for the service.
I think that you hit on the one thing that, that causes me the most concern about it, is, and that is, and I, you know, I have to say, I am, you know, this is probably coming from my own perspective in my legal practice, in which I did a lot of consumer protection types of matters. And what this reminds me of is those, you know, here, buy a magazine subscription and no problem, no obligation, none whatsoever. It's only, you know, $5.99. And then, you know, small print or somewhere you realize, oh, at a certain point you must opt out. If you don't, then it's going to be $1,000 a year, you know, to have those magazine subscriptions. I don't think necessarily that an opt-out provision saves it for me. In fact, it makes it a little more difficult in my view. I mean, it just doesn't help with the fact that here's one person who's making a choice, and then, you know, in order to opt out, you must do so within a certain period of time or else they'll take your money.
Well, good old government paternalism doesn't vitiate the commercial service here.
That
people,
would be me.
People come to the platform. People choose to enter the platform. I give the American people far much more credit than you do, and I give their intelligence far much more credit than you do, that when they choose to participate in this technological platform, and they agree to pay a fee for service, and they for whatever reason enjoy the interactive experience of participating with other like-minded people to come to a consensus opinion. And at the end of the road, there's going to be a drop-down menu giving them the choice to give to any candidate, that the people will be intelligent enough to make a wise choice about how they want to contribute their money. And maybe that's the more fundamental philosophical distinction that animates many of our debates here. I trust the American people and their intelligence to engage in democratic activity as they see fit.
And Madam Chair?
Mr. Cashman, just a minute.
You can
speak, Mr. Cashman.
That's
fine. But let me just sort of respond, and that is, you know, an issue that, and I'm reminded by one of our reporters who's sitting here today about this issue, and so it's fresh in my mind. Yes, I believe the American people are intelligent enough to make decisions, but many of them also contribute to, not that this is one, sham PACs, as we know, over which we have no control. And so in some cases, there's a necessity for some protection for people to ensure that they're not, that they're able to make thoughtful, you know, fair decisions. And so it isn't a question just of government paternalism and the difference.
May I ask Mr. Cashman a question?
Yes, you may.
Mr. Cashman, Commissioner Goodman here.
You've
heard this colloquy, and you've heard the chair's questions about the voluntariness and volition of those who choose to participate on your platform. Do you have any reaction to that?
Well, I did have one thing to add. First off, the choice of trustees, the choice of recipients in the voting process are always the legislators who have jurisdiction over a bill that's associated with that issue. So it's not an arbitrary, you were talking about the other website that gave you a New Jersey congressperson to support. Well, you don't know why that is, but with democracy rules, if you look at a potential recipient, you'll see that person is the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee or the chairman of whatever. So it's totally dependent on jurisdiction of affecting that issue, and it's not an arbitrary choice of my own. The other thing is there are protections against your magazine subscription analogy in the sense that before a user pledges any money to an issue or to a legislator, they know exactly where that money is going and why it's going to that person. And if they decide they do not want to donate or any money, they know those facts before it comes time to donate money. And convert. And also, furthermore, at the end of the cycle, if for any reason someone did not agree with where their money was voted, they can just rescind their vote and not be part of that particular cycle. So there are at least two protections, actually three, because even when you're polling the issues, the polling options list the recipient of if you vote to oppose an issue, this is where your money will go if you vote to support an issue. And then, again, at the pledging cycle, you see that before you donate any money. And then at the end of the trustee election, if you don't like for any reason the result of that trustee election, you can opt out of it and make it go away, make it like you never participated. And I think, you know, Mr. Goodman was correct when he said that this is an opt-in practice. I mean, in other words, there's nothing that you do there's no donations you make that you don't first know where they are going. That's why I feel that it's in reality it's not much different than the other projects that have been approved.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cashman.
Let me just say, I believe what Mr. Cashman is providing individuals by helping them identify who is the chair, who has influence over a certain issue, is essentially the service that every major corporate PAC in America has with their government affairs office.
Right.
That identifies who's going to affect issues of interest to that well-funded organization. And sophisticated, wealthy donors have consultants and people who assist them in this process. And what Mr. Cashman is offering is for people of lesser means, at the lower end of the economic scale, to have a platform to participate like that, and he's going to help them make intelligent choices by helping them identify potential candidates who are worthy of their support, and the individual maintains absolute control over their money before they agree to make a contribution. And so I think this is indistinguishable from CrowdPAC, and particularly Skimmer Hat, which was a commercial service And there's an older advisory opinion in a case called Brooks. So for that reason, I'll rest my case, Madam Chair. But I intend to support Draft D. I think it's important that we embrace these technologies that empower individual citizens. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from anybody? Is there a motion?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Mr. Cashman.
If we're pretty much near the end of this segment, I've got about a 60-second statement I'd like to enter.
Mr. Cashman, I think we're ready to vote. I don't want to, you know, preclude you from saying anything that you haven't been able to communicate
That's
to us
okay.
before, but honestly, I think we're pretty well informed
okay.
by our discussion so far on these many meetings that we've had on this matter. So, Mr. Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. With respect to Draft Advisory Opinion 2015-03, submitted by Democracy Rules by Ray Cashman, who's the Executive Director, I move approval of Agenda Document Number 15-38-D, which is also known as Draft D.
Okay. Any comments about the motion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 All those opposed?
No.
No. So that motion fails by a vote of 3-3. Commissioner Goodman, Commissioner Hunter, and Vice Chair Peterson voting aye, and Commissioner Weintraub, Commissioner Walther, and Chair Ravel, myself, voting no. Is there another motion? Nope. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Cashman, for all your efforts in this regard. We really appreciate your participation
you
with the commission.